Now, the shotgun start in golf is full of mathematics. There's a lot of setup work that we have to do in order to make a tournament work. So I'm going to demonstrate to you just exactly how we do a shotgun start here.
And here we go.
All right, all right, all right. Gentlemen, start your engine.
Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Shotgun Start. Today is Friday, April 22nd. DJ, how you doing?
Brendan! Andy! Excited to be here, man. Thrilled to get the call. Long time, I don't know, probably third time or something I was thinking about. I'm sure I've been on the podcast before, but always happy to be back. Always happy to be back.
Yeah. So for those that aren't aware, this is Dennis Pihowski, DJ Pihowski.
Sure.
Renowned, I don't know what your title is over there at No Laying Up. Producer?
Yeah, producer of some sort. Renowned, I think. Not renowned.
Well, whatever. You know, that's what this renowned. I think it's like potato.
I'm not saying I'm either of those things, but I know it's not renowned.
Have you ever met somebody that calls a tomato a tomato?
Yes. I just got back from Scotland, and that's all everybody says. So when you're trying to order burgers with no tomato, you know you're going to sound like a jackass, but you just got to say it anyways. Because, cool. No
tomato.
They're like, okay, cool. Got it. No tomato.
So you adjust.
No, I didn't. I was, just a daft, bees-headed American, just fully going for it with tomato. But I felt self-conscious about it every time.
It's really funny when you go to a different country, like especially one that is English isn't the base language. Like I went to Argentina right before I started this whole venture, but I took Spanish in middle school, and I can speak a little bit of Spanish. But I would always get up there, and the second that I got my order, and I'd be so proud. The second they talked back to me, it would just be like a blank stare would come over my face, and they'd know that I was just an American asshole.
I felt so bad. We were at an Indian restaurant in St. Andrews, and there was a guy who was kind of struggling with English a little bit, and we're trying to order and. My friend and associate, Big Play Ray, who was over there with us, kept trying to order a water and a Diet Coke, but we realized after the fact that the guy thought he was just saying order Diet Coke, and Ray just kept repeating it over and over and over, like order Diet Coke, order Diet Coke, and the guy was just blank stare, and he finally kind of like Homer Simpson, back into the bushes, like he just left without saying anything. So I think it goes both ways, Andy. I wouldn't beat yourself up, man. I think everybody goes through that.
Hey, how was you were out in Scotland? I assume you went to the Fairmont St. Andrews.
You know what? Our bus drove past it on the way back to St. Andrews from Crail. I wasn't fast enough to get my phone out and take a photo to send to you and Brendan, but I had a hearty solo chuckle about it. It looks like a beautiful place.
Do you think there were a lot of people there trying to play the old course? They have their own old course, of course.
They do, of course. Unclear, amazing piece of property from the road anyways. I mean, it's one of those places, if you accidentally booked there thinking you were going to the old course, would you be disappointed? Yes. Are there worse places in the world to make that mistake? I would say also yes. It's still a pretty good place to be. You're only, 5 minutes down the road.
It seemed like you guys spent a lot of time at the old course.
A lot of time. We were very lucky to hit the ballot on the Saturday that we got there. So we all played Saturday. I played a hickory match on the old course against Neil, which is a lifelong dream of mine. I got my ass kicked, but had an absolute blast. Neil was like, long story, really long story. We got locked out of our Airbnb, so we're trying to change. So we ended up missing like the first three holes, which is, who wants to hit that first tee shot at the old course anyways?
Can I ask you about getting locked out of your Airbnb?
Yeah, please.
This happened to me last summer, and I'm now so out on like double authentication.
Yeah, it was an own goal for sure. They had given us the keys that we needed, but it was kind of like a double door, like storm door situation. And we'd been there for 5 days, and the storm door had literally never been closed. And So we went to, we were very lucky to have lunch down at the R&A. Our Airbnb was just like right up the hill. So we're, you know, we're sitting there. We've got like 20 minutes to our tea time. Longer than that. We had like 40 minutes to our tea time. Our Airbnb is 2 minutes away. So like, oh, we're just going to pop up. We'll change real quick, grab our clubs. We'll meet you guys right back down. Somebody had pulled the storm door closed. Our other associates had left the keys locked upstairs. So, I mean, we're literally just standing there waiting. I felt so bad for Neil. Neil had never played the Old Course before. So we're standing there. I got shit on by a bird while we're just standing there on the stoop. It was a really low, it was a low point for sure, all things considered. So shout out to our property managers. They we gave them a call, explained the situation. The guy pulled up, you know, on the scores there on St. Andrews right next to the beach, finds a quick parallel spot. He comes sprinting out of the van to come let us in. He knew how serious it was. It was very awesome. So we sprinted up the stairs, grabbed our clubs, sprinted back down, sprinted to the golf course, and then we're like literally running down the side of the fairway of 1, 2, and 3 at the Old Course, just looking like complete morons. Get to the fourth tee, just completely out of breath, hit the golf ball all over the place, but settled down after that. I think Neil...
Not an ideal way to...
Not ideal. No, not ideal. Neil, I think to his massive credit, I keep wanting to beat myself up for the loss. I think he was like... He made me play the back tees, which he usually does, which is good with hickory clubs, when he hits it like 100 yards farther than I do. But he, I think, was like 4 over, 5 over with the hickories, parred like 8 or 9 in a row. It was unbelievable. So great day.
Neil's a really good golfer.
He is. He really is.
He might not be a good golfer, but he's a really good golfer.
That's well said.
What I'm saying.
Yeah, I do. I know exactly what you're saying. So to your point about spending a lot of time on the Old Course. We all got out there again on Wednesday as part of the kind of like the big group we were with, and not to keep beating up on Neil, but like I already cleared up that he beat the shit out of me in our match, but he's famous for, you know, flying close to the sun and then maybe giving a couple back. He was 4 under through 7 on the Old Course going into the wind, going out. And then I think he lost 2 balls on 10 and ended up going like 32, 43 or something like that. It was 32, 44. It was spectacular stuff. Yeah.
That's great. I'm sure you went to a lot of places. Sounds like a wonderful, wonderful trip.
It was good stuff.
Any big takeaways from the Masters?
You know what? I was excited to see a proof of life from your guy, Rory. I know you had written him off, you know, and just completely shit on him on Thursday night. I was excited to listen to that podcast.
Write him off.
But that was a blast. It was awesome. Awesome to watch that. So, you know, again, sorry to keep talking about the Scotland trip, but we had kind of like the jigger in there, right?
The Scotland trip. This is your podcast today.
That's right. Right off of the 17th fairway, there's the jigger in. We had that. We had like a group of like 36 people over there for the trip. And so we all had kind of like taken that over, and just the energy that Rory has when he's in the hunt. Like, it was, you know, I mean, it's unlike anything any other current player apart from Tiger and maybe Jordan contains, right? I mean, the place was absolutely electric, even though it was so clear he wasn't going to win. Everybody's just willing the ball into the hole every time. When he made the eagle on 13, everybody lost their minds. It was great. And then I guess the other thing, I mean, you know, hard to come up with a more obvious take than this, but Scottie Scheffler, super impressive, you know. Agree or disagree?
He's decent at golf, you know. I think if he gets a couple things figured out, he's got a bright future.
I agree with that. No, but how about, you guys talked about it
with
plenty.
With Rory, though.
Yeah, go ahead.
Was he really in it?
Not really. Like, it wasn't, unless Scheffler was going to shit the bed coming in. I mean, listen, have people, you know, bogeyed the last three? Have people bogeyed the last two and, you know, had some disasters coming down the stretch? Of course. So it's in the cards, but, you know, I'm sure his like realistic percentage never really got above, you know, 10% or something like that. But it was, yeah, the only bummer about it was that Scheffler's like the steadiest, most rock solid player on the planet. So if anybody was not going to give it back, it was pretty clear that it was him.
Yeah, it's Scheffler's short game being so good gives you kind of
totally
like no hope.
Exactly. Like, it just keeps his foot on your throat the whole time.
Get up and down.
100%.
It's just like, he hit a bad shot. It's like, but it will hit this to 6 inches. And it's not even dramatic. That's the thing.
Exactly.
He hits him so close that it's not like he's making six footers.
He's got whiffs of a likable pee. Patrick Reed. It's kind of similar with him coming down Well, no, of course, but I just mean in the short game department, right? Like, oh, I don't know, Reed could punt this away. It's like, well, no, he just gets everything up and down.
Yeah, he's. I don't know if you heard, he played basketball too.
Yeah, I heard that.
That makes him likable. He's kind of like an all-American guy.
Totally.
So we're 18 holes in. This is being recorded on Friday morning. So it's even less relevant. I'm in a very echoey room, so I apologize now about that. It's a small room with no carpet, and I can just hear the audio bouncing around. But anyways, Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele shoot a 59. Another 59.
The man, great 59 watch.
Deep barrier has fallen again, and they shot 59 best ball. They lead Matt Neesmith and Taylor Moore by one shot, Aaron Ryan, David Lipsky by two, the Solicitor General, Tommy Gainey, Robert Garrigues, breathing life into a tournament. They're at 11 under. They got the prostitution guy and the live golf guy right in the mix.
This just Team Vice going on there. You love seeing that.
Is this worst case scenario for the tour? They win.
Well, I read their, much like yourself, I think. I'm not big on criticizing, the press room. Everybody's working hard in there. And I'm not in there and I'm not asking questions. So I hate being the guy that's like, they should ask this question. However, a little weird to not see him be asked at all yesterday about the LIV Golf stuff. That was a little frustrating. So hopefully they hang around today for the simple fact that I don't think they can avoid the question 2 days in a row.
Tommy Gainey seemed like a perfect guy for the Saudis, too.
That's true.
I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, I don't know why.
He's got his big break fame. He's got some fame. He's got a shtick with his two gloves.
Sure.
And I imagine he's got some hefty lawyer bills to pay off.
I would imagine so. Yeah, that's a really good call. Maybe, there's been kind of whispers over the last 6 months about all these guys kind of recruiting each other and who's really putting the screws to who about trying to get him talked in. Maybe Garrigues is giving him the hard sell,
It's who knows? The other thing about it is, so Eamon, I don't know where Eamon got his report. I'm assuming it came from the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
How about the tour just like throwing Garrigues out?
It's a true, the corporate version of like, get a load of this fucking guy. Yeah.
Just shipping him out there.
Totally.
Just to the wolves.
Good luck, man.
It's like, oh, you want to guess, ask for this waiver? Well, here you go. You get to go deal with the public backlash of your decision for the next 4 weeks.
Which would be weird also if, like, I mean, there have to be other guys that have asked for waivers by now, right? So to not hear those is, that feels like the message is being controlled a little bit.
Well, I love the other thing about their, like, whole system. Like, I think it's, 30-day period?
Yeah.
They have 30 days. You ask for the waiver, and they have a 30. I love how they wait the whole 30 days.
They have to. Yeah, you like, got to look at it from all angles, man.
Right away. But waiting the 30 days and just letting people hang out there is really a wonderful play.
I mean, imagine also with just gas prices these days, inflation, booking that last minute trip to Saudi Arabia. It's got to be tough. Oh, I guess they're in England. They're in England the first one. Well, still.
Club or whatever.
Listen, it's a popular route itself, Routes are diminished. It's tough out there in those airline streets right now.
Were you looking to play the Centurion Club on your recent trip?
I missed it. No, I was trying to radar. I was trying to do some Tetris, try to make it fit in the itinerary. And it just wasn't going to work. I'm pretty sure Tron got out there though. I think he saw it. Let me ask you a question. What do you think about this tournament?
Which tournament?
Zurich. Because scrolling down that leaderboard, it's so weird. It's kind of to me like,
I think it'd be better. It'd be a better tournament if the Heritage and whatever next week is didn't exist.
Well, yeah, that's most of the PGA Tour at this point. Like, yeah, I mean, if there weren't 55 events,
whole thing. Like,
yeah,
this tournament, there's, you can say that about so many tournaments. This tournament would be great if last week's tournament and the week after's tournament didn't exist.
I think this event might be responsible for me just like stopping suggesting things. You know what I mean? Like, this is a good example of one of those ones. It's like, you know what they need to do is a fucking, they need to do a team event. I would watch that for sure. And then it's like, what, Aaron Rye and David Lipsky and Matthew Neesmith and Taylor Moore. I'm like, oh no, you could take that. I'm finished with that. You could take that away. No box for me with that one. No thanks. I'm done. Like,
I don't know what it is about this tournament. I feel like I should like it, but I never carve out time to watch.
Ever. It's great watching the last, and this is, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of hardy golf fans like nodding their head in approval saying like, yeah, that's the whole point. But great watching the last four holes, you know, show me the last four holes of this thing on Sunday. Awesome. Do I need to watch Taylor Moore and Matthew Neesmith on Thursday, Friday, Saturday? Probably not. You know, I'm probably going to skip that.
Well, it's kind of like that, like, nondescript Jaguars.
tread lightly, my man.
Game. Yeah. You get, like, the Jaguars-Texans game in week 15 as a, you know, an NFL fan. But if it's, like, close at the in the fourth quarter,
100%.
You're like, oh, yeah, I'll flip that on.
Exactly.
I'll see what Trevor Lawrence can do.
I think
what
that
he can drum up.
I think that's right. I think that's exactly how I feel. And look, like the super teams this year, I think breathe a little life into it, right? Like the Xander and Cantlay thing's fun. Morikawa and Hovland's really fun. I like all that. I think there's some
Sung Kang and John Ha.
Yeah, no, you cut me off. You didn't let me get to them. But I think there's some delicious takes to be had about Cantlay and Xander winning a team event. I think that would be really fun with, you know, some of their like absolute missing persons reports in some of the majors. And I think, you know, seeing them show up and just beat up some of these weird teams would be kind of fun. But other than that, yeah, it's
Billy Boy's always a presence here too.
Of course. The big Cajun. He loves it there. But the other flip side of this is it's almost like the worst combo. I remember talking to some players about it, and like the players legitimately love it. Like they love it, have a great time. They all get so into like the team aspect. They, you know, being in New Orleans, even though this golf course is out in like True Detective territory. I don't know if you've ever been out there or not, but it's a bit of a tough scene out there. But they it's like that weird combo where like the players really love it and it's like massively disinteresting to the general public, which is, it seems like maybe more and more of golf is headed that way.
I think this would be better if it was all alternate shot.
Yeah. I totally agree with that.
I do like the alternate shot round, so Sunday and Friday, because the pace of play really moves. And I think one of the issues with Saturday, foursomes best ball is just a slog.
Yeah.
It's just awful.
Agreed.
I don't like playing it. I don't like, you know, if I had my druthers with our events and they're my events, we would go to all alternate shot. But people would get really mad about not being able to play their own ball one round.
Sure.
And but like it's a slow format and it doesn't work well.
Agree. And I think the other thing, and this is a little more out of left field, but having it be a mixed team event, which I've been beating this drum on at every possible opportunity, but having a men's and women's mixed team event would be infinitely more interesting. But then you get into FedEx Cup points and playing opportunities and all that bullshit.
I would say they should still give out full FedEx Cup points and exemptions.
Totally.
The LPGA
Rolex points. Give it, yeah. CME Globe. Give them everything. Yeah.
2 year exemption.
True. Who gives a shit?
That are exempt on tour as is.
Yes. Here. Well, there you go. Maybe that fixes the problem.
It would be sick.
Would watch.
Then they can play either, you know, either tour for.
Yeah.
But you're right. LPGA on the LPGA. This is a great event.
Awesome event.
Wilshire. I'm in Southern California. It was really windy yesterday.
Was this
in Southern California?
I fell asleep on the plane when I was listening to the pod. Was this your event of the week?
This is event of the week.
Okay, that's what I figured.
I've been very diligent with event of the week this year. I need to pick it up in that. But Allison Lee leads 5-under 66. Carve some time out the next 2 weeks.
Hell yeah.
These are both delightful golf courses that they're playing.
Where are they at
really
next week?
Cool. It's at Palos Verdes.
Oh, sweet.
A Billy Bell.
Yeah.
It's a really severe piece of land. People are going to be like wowed next week with the views because it sits on this kind of hill and it just overlooks the Pacific Ocean. So next week's really cool place.
I love the back nine of this tournament. It's some of the coolest viewing of the year, I think, in tournament golf. Back nine at Wilshire's awesome.
Yeah. LA Open. Long live the LA Open. And they got the LA Open title because the tour gave it away.
That's right. How about that?
So this is the walk-up music episode. Are you ready to dive in?
I feel really back-footed. I texted you yesterday. You asked if I wanted to be a part of this glorious tradition. I said, what do I need to prepare? You said, quote, absolutely nothing. So I took that to heart in a really big way. I have nothing prepared. I don't know where we're going, but I'm excited to do it.
I barely prepared. So, you know, that makes two of us. I have the music on my phone, as is a tradition.
Okay.
I haven't yet to figure out how to properly mix this in.
Well, you were very misleading on your text this morning. I was like, yeah, you ready to go? Yeah, hold on. I'm just cutting down some tracks. Total industry speak.
I cut the tracks and I send them to my phone and play them from the phone.
Okay.
So this drives some people nuts. But so this, the premise of this, I don't know if walk-up music still exists. It seems like it exists.
It seems like it does. I was looking for lists to kind of try to, like, you know, even though you told me not to prepare, I was kind of trying to look at, like, all right, who's got what song going on? What's up? And I could find was lists from like 2018, 2019.
But they were talking about, like, Hovland and Morikawa were talking about, we need help with our walk-up music. And I'm
right.
Like, wait, does it exist?
Exactly.
I thought the tour struck this from the record. I thought they erased it from the tournament. But the whole premise is they did walk-up music. They might still do it. They do it. Everybody always... King, we've done this every year. I'm picking songs for the team. This is the song... Well, they're taking this song. This is what they should be walking out to.
Can I ask you a question about walk-up music? How much, if you can quantify it, how much do you think the walk-up songs have grown the game?
It's a great question.
I think we both have a...
I think the first tee facility in New Orleans is thriving because of walk-up music.
Kids
came out, said, this is so cool that... You know, Trey Mullinax came out to country music.
Yeah.
I'm playing golf.
No, that's the kind of music I like. I've been right on the fence about whether I was going to play or not. I think I'm in now. There's like 14 people on the tee box, just like... Yeah, it's got to be fucking electric down there.
Well, we're going to grow the game.
I think if anybody's been to, you know, any golf course over the last 2 years and just seen how busy it is, I don't think there's any data to show... to uncouple it from the walk-up music, you know?
That's the thing. You can't prove that it wasn't the walk-up music.
Exactly. So it's good to give this its due today.
All right, you ready to go? So I'm going to play a clip. You're going to guess what team this is about.
All right,
about.
This is going to be really hard because I don't know who's in the field.
Easy. This is a layup.
Okay. I'm trying to see if your guy Fratelli's not in the field.
Come on, gold digger. Who's the gold digger in the
Oh, of course, Ryan Palmer.
Ryan Palmer.
Yeah, of course.
Scotty Scheffler.
I was taking it a little too literally there. Of course, the guy who hitches himself to every top star available: Spieth, Rahm, now Scheffler. It's honestly, I respect his bit. Like, I think it's pretty clear that it is a bit at this point, and I hope it continues.
I got word from the ground right after it was. Maybe it was Riviera that was right after the waste management.
That sounds right.
I've told this story a couple times now, but I got word that literally right after the Monday or the Tuesday on the range, there was a witness account of Ryan Palmer going up to Scottie Scheffler and being like, congrats, man, great win. And literally right after the congratulatory, you know, pleasantries introduction, right after he goes, hey, who's your partner for Zurich?
How about that? Well, I don't know. Maybe there's a little bit of a relationship there. At least they're both like Texas guys, right? Like the Rahm one didn't make any sense to me. I'm not making that up, right? That sounds like a fever dream. Like him and Rahm were partners too, weren't they? Didn't they win it?
Him and Rahm, him and Spieth.
Yeah.
Him and Scheffler. I mean, like the average world rank for his partners has got to be like 2.3.
It's unbelievable. Maybe he's just a, you know, I guess if you're Ryan Palmer, I mean, not that he's, you know, hasn't had a bunch of just, you know, he never loses his card. He's always right in there. But if you can get a little insurance policy, get a little 2-year exemption, like, yeah, I get it.
It's a smart move.
It is.
He's a smart guy. All right, up next, we're going to the next one.
I'm gonna guess this is your Garagus Tommy Gainey group.
That is correct.
That's a good one. Girls. Bad Girls.
That is that song slaps.
Of course. Oh, it's an all-timer. I had a couple. I was mentally prepared for you know, Live Forever by Oasis. I thought would have been good for Garagus. Honestly, I would have respected if they just came out to Nookie by Limp Bizkit. I think would have been a pretty all-time move. Just a middle finger to all the haters and losers. Yeah, a lot of ways you could go with that one.
So, like, sometimes, like, there are very blatantly obvious songs for people.
Sure.
But other times, it's like, I was Googling, like, prostitution.
Yeah.
Songs about prostitution and different things to figure out what the best song. I mean, Bad Girl. But that song is a great song. When I turned it on, I was like, oh, yeah, this is a good song. Like, the beginning of it. I was on a plane and it was like overwhelming my AirPods. I was like worried that my computer was playing the music, and I was like, wait, am I disrupting everybody around me because of that's a full bodied song
or enhancing their flight experience. I'm trying to think what else you'd put on that list. Roxanne, of course, would be a great one. You know, just lots of different ways you can go with that one, but I think that's a great choice.
All right, this is going to be the trickiest one, I think.
Oh, man, okay. All right, you got to give me a little hint on this one.
If you were going to come up with the most nondescript elevator music song for the pairing that just does absolutely nothing for you.
I'm going to make a guess. I'm going to guess Keegan Bradley and Brendan Steele.
I was looking at them, trying to think of something. This one I had earmarked for Kelly Kraft and Kevin Tway.
Sure.
Just two guys that I really don't care what happens, and they evoke zero emotion whatsoever in me.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I would have guessed you were going with some, like, you know, some gym beats or something like that for your guy Gaines, but I see where you're going.
Just two guys that are just happy to be living life on the PGA Tour and have done really nothing outside of, you know, at least Gaines has the Safeway win. But Kelly Kraft, like, I did this point system for Bacon's Pod for like ranking the top 10 players, and effectively, like, I created a system that gives you a point for being relevant, like top 5 in major.
Yeah,
win on a PGA Tour is a point, and then you get more points for other things, that like winning a Players or winning a Riviera or winning a major. And I started to think about all the players that had been on the PGA Tour for a long time that had yet to garner one point. And I just thought, God, What a amazing existence that is, to do nothing relevant
and just hang around
and just rack up money. And Kelly Kraft is one of those people.
You know what's tough is, man, this is kind of making my point about this event, I think, a little bit, is it almost like takes the anonymity of so much of the PGA Tour and just like magnifies it with some of these bad teams. So like everything you just said is like, yeah, I mean, you could also apply that to the Matthew Naismith, Taylor Moore team. You could also apply that to, you know, let's just scroll down the list here. Lee Hodges and Vince Whaley. Couldn't tell you too much about that team. You know, I don't want to drive by too many people, but Tyler Duncan, Adam Shank. I know that's a popular. Yeah, I know that's a popular one for you. Who else?
Layup.
That was Ryan Brem and Mark Hubbard. You could probably take that one away if you wanted to. Scott Kuchevsky and DA Points. You know, not to shout out to the good people of Peak in Illinois, but it's
Peak in Illinois.
It's just a big, big no thanks for me. But
it seems like you've become a coastal elite if you're gonna drive by DA Points and Scott Kuchevsky. You know, a couple guys from flyover country. You've lost the plot, DJ. You're a coastal elite now.
Well, no, you know what? I was gonna lump your boy Nick Hardy into that group, but then I was gonna say no. Nick Hardy's got, you know, That's a player to watch. I'm in on that, so I'll take a little issue with that.
Nick Hardy needs to, you know,
he needs to get on his horse a little bit, but you know, he's a young guy.
All right, up next, I wish Tron was here for this one.
Okay. I have no idea where you're going with this.
It's our favorite baseball player.
Phil Mickelson?
I guess you're probably not in on the bit, but I thought about not doing this one, but this is
Mark Leishman, of
great
course.
Contact hitter.
Of course. That's good stuff.
Excited to play.
Batting it around, I believe, is the phrase. Is that right?
That is correct. He's just, you know, that song, whenever I hear that song, I think of like a kid that's trying really hard, doesn't have all the physical tools, but is out there giving it his all. And I think about Mark Leishman a lot when I think that.
I know.
Like batting around.
I know this is more, you know, more Porath's block of farting on Leishman, but you seem like you should be a huge Leishman fan. Just such an old school player, gets the ball in the hole. It's not flashy, but he plays like capital G golf out there.
Listen, I love him. I love him. I liken him. You know, the one problem with that song is it goes on to say play center field. He's the first baseman that has no pop, like the 90s first baseman. I compare him to Mark Grace.
Yeah, John Olerud. Of course. Yeah.
JT Snow.
Yes, for
where
sure.
He's just out there batting the ball, getting it in field, plays great defense, great in the locker room.
I think that's a good call.
You expect him to have more pop.
Sure.
All right. So we got Leishman and Cam Smith. I feel bad for Cam Smith having to be in there. All right.
Cam Smith has kind of a college baseball player look going. That's an extremely graphic song to choose for somebody. What was the last line there? Show me where your dick's at.
I meant to cut it before we got to that. I think this is the second time I've used a Kesha song. Just for the record, I do not listen to Kesha.
Kesha makes it's pretty certified bangers.
Kesha has some hits.
You know, I don't really have I can't really hazard a guess at this one either. I might need a bit of a clue.
All right, think about somebody that comes out of their mouth with a lot of blah blah blah.
Ah, okay, I got you. I'm gonna say that one's probably the William Ho group.
That is correct.
Billy and Sam Burns. That's That's good. I of course figured he would be on the list, but I didn't know where you'd put him. Some sort of.
Well, Billy this week said, you know, I don't care what people think about me. You know, fuck everybody, basically. I'm just going to keep doing what I do, which I like. I appreciate that attitude.
Sure.
I heard, I got some reports. Somebody may have off the record asked him what he thinks of golf podcasts. And he might have said, fuck all those guys.
Hell yeah.
So yeah. I like the energy he's pushing out there.
I don't even really disagree, to be honest.
I would say that this shotgun start has gone full circle. We've become a pro Billy Horschel podcast.
I love it. I love hearing that. I think it's, you know, classic example of it's always more interesting when he's around. Can't take my eyes off him when he's on the screen. I love it.
Exactly. He's doing something that makes my life easier.
Exactly.
Which is what I appreciate.
And talk about a guy Billy that's Horschel. Just absolutely maxed it out too. You know, I mean, he's great. Just you could have hit it. Yeah, there's a lot of ways you could have gone with that one. It's I'm in on fuck you energy from Billy. Bring it on.
I think he's being his true self when you're authentic, and Billy's just being himself.
Agreed.
Which is kind of a raging lunatic. All right. We got up next here. I got to fast forward a little. I forgot this is a long one. Yes, oh, no. I got a phone call.
Oh, disaster.
Oh, this derailed the whole thing. This is why our production is, you know, is really lacking.
Okay. Who is it? Is this like Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young or something?
The title is Wooden Ships.
Okay, that's well, I know SSP Chowrage is not in the field. I don't think Daniel Berger's in the field.
There's a pirate in the field.
Is that your boy Scribner?
Scribner.
Is he in the field?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. How about that? Yo ho ho.
Jason did. There are a couple options. I almost went with yo ho ho. I almost went with like pirate song.
He's paired with Jason Day. Unbelievable. First I'm hearing of this. I think you froze for a minute.
You think they're mates from way back when? We're having some serious production issues here.
You must be on that Airbnb Wi-Fi right now.
It's not good in Ohio, California.
Yeah, I don't. They must be former mates. I love seeing that. That's awesome.
All right, last one. Okay. Last one.
These are some of the weirdest choices I've ever heard. All right, you're going to have to fill me in on this one, too. I don't even know what song that is.
The title of the song is Protection.
Oh, well, let's see who Charlie Hoffman's paired with. I'm going to say the Nick Watney and Charlie Hoffman group.
I think Watney's out there to take the brunt of this song. The lyrics of the song, I'll take the brunt of it. Be your protection.
I love that. That's great. Nick Watney, what an interesting time in his career right now.
I mean, for both of them.
Yeah.
Charlie Hoffman, like what's he doing out there? This gets to your grand point about this. It illuminates like what's going on.
Yeah, I don't think this was your intent, but this this whole exercise kind of really made me even like less interested to watch his tournament.
How about Martin Trainer and Jimmy Hardcay? Are you excited about that?
Group? Jimmy Hardcay's sweet. He's got that baseball player mentality. Just put me in the game, man. Let me get the runner over. I'm in on him.
From Basalt.
Exactly.
You gotta love a guy that just grew up in the mountains and stays there.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. I love that. There's nothing that gets me more excited than the players who don't live in Scottsdale or Jupiter or Dallas. Give me some weird locations.
Yeah, Chris India lives in the city of Chicago.
I love that.
Like he does not conform. He'll like rent a house for a couple months in Jack's, but for the most part, he stays in Chicago.
That's great. God, there's a bunch. I mean, Streb is a great example of that in Kansas City.
Is he in Kansas?
Yeah, it's so good. Stricker is probably the all time, you know, good example of that living up there. But the I like Leishman in Virginia Beach. I think is really cool. I get kind of a kick out of that.
Good baseball city.
Of course.
League team, right?
That's true. Yeah. If you're going to get a look, that's a good, you got to put yourself kind of in the right spot.
I've got one last one that I wanted to include here. I got to fast forward a little. This is off the cuff.
Okay. Ooh, is this Ben Harper or something? Oh, Texas.
It's Leon Bridges, Texas Sun.
Of course. Well, we already did this, Scheffler and Ryan Palmer.
You would
Palmer
think it would be for a true Texan.
Sergio? Sergio and Tommy Fleetwood?
So I got thinking, I was like, Tommy Fleetwood moved to Texas. How quickly would Texans embrace Tommy Fleetwood?
Oh, for sure. For sure. That's a great call.
Spitting image. Like, yeah. until a word came out of his mouth.
Yeah.
Everybody would be like, oh, what a great guy. What a great Texan.
Imagine him in some of the, like, wardrobe from Dazed and Confused.
Yeah.
Would be phenomenal. Insane. Yeah.
So, this is a late submission. I was thinking about that in the car yesterday, and I didn't write it down, but that I scrolled over them and had to get it in.
I'm kind of shocked we didn't see anything from the Bill Haas, Jay Haas group. I thought I was ready for that one. You know, I know Cats in the Cradle is kind of your Drew Love yeah. one, but you didn't want to probably run that joke back.
After Westy blew up Joel Beal, I was really hesitant to be called an ageist.
Sure. Yeah, you got to keep your head on a swivel. Yeah. God, your boy. Fucking lost the plot.
He has lost the plot. I don't know if you saw that our new art for Westy Island.
No, I haven't seen it yet.
You go on Instagram. It's okay. There. You know, we had the great Jason Page redesign. The island went from a place with plentiful coconuts and palm trees to one that's stripped out with oil rigs and swords and sharks.
It's starting
sharks
to get
swimming around in the water.
Starting to get a little Lord of the Flies on that island.
He's a goner. I'm surprised they didn't, that the tour chose to
sacrifice Garrigus.
They could have just thrown UPS Lee Westwood out there and just really made a scene of it.
What do you think that London event's going to look like?
Kevin Na is going to be quick picking up balls.
Hell yeah.
Out of the hole. Kokrak's going to be sauntering around. And Westy's going to shoot an even par final round to lose by two.
And I agree with all that. But I guess my question is, like, who are the other 42 guys?
Like, I think there's going to be some guys that are first movers that are going to get really rich.
Totally.
That are no names.
But I think it might be like one of the weirdest collection of professional athletes in history.
I mean, if you're a Korn Ferry Tour player, say you've been on the tour for like 10 years.
Yeah.
And they ask you, like, how do you say no?
No, totally. It's, yeah. Man, fascinated. Fascinated to see how it goes.
Like, I could go finish 15th out of 40 and make more money than I've made my entire career.
Yeah. Whew. Crazy.
I don't know. Who knows? Maybe it'll be like, I could see a lot of Euro Tour guys doing it.
Yeah, true.
Like George Cosia.
Among others. Yeah.
Dean Burmeister.
Sure. Like
Dean Burmeister. You see him going out there hacking around.
Jaco van Zyl.
Maronk. Yeah. Oh, Yako. Guy's still... One of the most absurd stories in the history of golf.
Truly.
Gary Player took him under his wing.
Gary Player might be in the field over there.
He could be. That would actually make it like more watchable.
For sure. Man.
All right,
DJ, what a time to be alive.
Thank you for coming on. I gotta wrap this up, and I gotta get out and go do something. So, I apologize for cutting you short.
Not at all. What are you doing out there? Anything fun, or is it all top secret?
We got an event out here.
Oh, of course.
On Saturday, so we've got our boomerang, but I'm supposed to go play golf this morning, and that's why we had to do this really early recording.
Well, Godspeed. Hit it well. Great to talk to you. And
awesome talking to you.
I'm sure we'll catch up soon.
What you got? Anything exciting coming down the pipe? Strapped. I haven't watched it. Strapped episode one.
Yeah, Strapped is out. Or the first episode is at in Hilton Head at Old South Golf Links. And then our next episode comes out Wednesday night at 9 p.m. on our YouTube channel, No Laying Up's YouTube channel, at the Charleston Muni, a place very close, near and dear to your heart. So really, really fun stuff there.
There's probably some carnage at Charleston Muni.
You know what? You'll have to wait and see. You'll have to wait and see. It's a lot of emotional.
Inflict some pain.
Yeah, emotional carnage, I think, probably more than physical.
All right, DJ. You can find him wherever No Laying Up is. Thank you very much. Thank you for coming on, filling in. You performed better than Brendan would have performed. So I appreciate your contribution to this year's Walk Up Music.
Anytime. Happy to do it.
I could see you listening to Bad Girls a couple times
today. No doubt. It's already queued up. I can't imagine the the auto songs that Spotify is gonna queue up for me once I listen to that four or five times.
All right.
All right. I'll see you.